Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's show. We have some exciting announcements for you. The title announcement we have is bringing Microsoft Forms polls into Microsoft Teams meetings. We're also going to talk about how the Microsoft is extending some temporary limits for live events in Teams. And yes, you can undo in Microsoft Lists. Roll it.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
We're so accustomed to having an undo button that when we don't have one, we're kind of like, control Z. No, sometimes we want the control Z in life, don't we?
Wow, that's kind of deep.
It is.
Yes,
sorry about
I would
that.
Agree with you.
Yeah, oops, I'm sorry. I wish I could take those words back.
Yeah,
undo. Welcome, undo. Daniel. How's your Monday?
Thank you, Daryl. My Monday is fantastic. It's actually a beautiful day. Sun's out. Birds are chirping. Leaves are still falling, but it's a beautiful day. How's Tuesday, Daryl?
Tuesday is rainy with a chance of more rain and temperatures dropping as we approach summer. This is weird. You didn't tune in for a weather forecast from Nashville, Tennessee or Auckland, New Zealand. But you tuned into the 365 Message Center show, where we help you plan for change, prevent or fix, and stay informed. And there's a few things changing. What's your overview of the messages this week? Exciting, kind of, or, well, not much happening?
I don't think there's anything groundbreaking. I didn't look at the messages and going through it and go, wow, I need to go tweet this. I really need to write up a blog post about this. This is going to be exciting. We need to get the news out. Not to say you should turn off this episode. let's not go that far. That's kind of drastic. There are some things that you definitely need to know about. And as a adoption manager, as a change agent, as an IT admin, all of those roles, there's things here you need to be paying attention to, because there's actually some really good things. But, you know, there's no, hey, Teams is going to let you sign in with 50 Microsoft 365 accounts all at once and resolve the whole, you know, tenant switching problem.
That's going to be a good one to actually talk about. I know it's not a, it's related, right? And I'm sure you've got the content primed. Yes. Let me jump in with that first message, which let me just find the right buttons. And that is not it. It is actually this
that
one.
Is. Yes.
That was your one. That was the headline. But this message around live events, one of our passions, of course, and within Microsoft 365, we have a few options for running those events. During this interesting time of when we've needed to extend our ability to engage our people at work, our organization, our communities, Microsoft had extended the limit, or rather raised the limit on live events within Microsoft 365. So think of internally, we can run Yammer, Microsoft Teams, and stream type events. We might want to run a town hall and reach out to everyone, not just a limit of 10,000 as we had when we first began. We might want to run longer events to try and engage people, maybe having a continuous stream for a good period of time. And there may also be a need to run more concurrent events. And so the limits were extended back on August 4th to 20,000 attendees for live events. You could host up to 50 live events concurrently across a tenant. And you could have an event up to 16 hours. Now, the offshoot of this was we could also use some of these new limits to run online conferences using Microsoft Teams. Have you attended a few over the few months, Daniel?
Yes. Yes, I've attended and presented at a few.
Yeah, but those limits did become quite important, didn't they? Because you think about an online conference, there's often multiple tracks, multiple sessions, and they did definitely make use of that 50 event limit. I know some of them even hit that limit, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And I think the for, you know, those keynotes, and that's where these live events comes into play with those conferences. Those keynotes, you know, you really don't know how many people are going to show up. You don't want to exclude people from attending. And so this having event support up to 20,000 really was key, was very a very good feature. And then you just mentioned having, you can run 50 events at the same time. That seems a lot, and it is, but depending upon how you stagger things and you're kicking things off, and it you could run into, for larger conferences, you could run into issues that way. So I think the it's been nice, you know, I think, since August, I guess it was, being able to have that the functionality.
Yeah, and really what Microsoft had done was they'd introduced an advanced communications license, and this was part of that functionality. And as a way of trialing that and letting us all experience it, we could use it without having to pay for it. And it was supposed to be just 60 days for that limit, and they've extended it now right through to 1st of January. So this is what this message is all about, extending that limit. But I do want to call out too that once you do hit that 1st of January, the advanced comms license, don't think that it's going to be, oh, here we go. Okay, so now how many people do we have to license, and if we want to keep this capability within our org? It is $12 US per user per month, but it's not for attendees. Right, attendees that come along, including your guests that come in remotely, they don't have to be covered by a license. It's just the meeting organizers. So if you have been enjoying this capability and you do think that you'll continue to use it past 1st of January, among other things, and those other things are large interactive meetings where you can have up to 1,000 people joined just a regular Teams meeting. You can push that a bit further and have... if you did want to have 20,000 people in that real-time meeting, which is the difference between the interactive and the live event, but they shift you into like a view-only mode if you've got people watching this in real time. And lastly, custom-branded meeting lobby. I guess there was an asset there or two that you could put into that lobby event. So that, you know, $12 per user per month, just... I think like some organizations I work with where they have the same kind of decision point of, do we want to give everyone the capability to create meetings that have conference call in details? Do we assign that license to everyone, or maybe just the meeting organizers? Put that same question. If you want those advanced features, then the license for $12 per user per month, maybe just your live event people, might be a good thing to think about. Yeah. Now, Daniel, let's go to our headline for the episode.
Yeah, this is announcing forms polls in Microsoft Teams meetings, MC225995. So it's pretty straightforward, being able to poll your attendees while you're in a Teams meeting. It's never been easier to do this. The organizer can craft a poll or polls before the meeting. So you can kind of start that process if you're, you know, maybe this is a training or, you know, given a formal presentation, you want to give some of those polls, go ahead and craft them beforehand. You could also create them ad hoc during the meeting. The forms button will be there in the message command bar. So starting November 19th, rolling out through early December, you can, if you want to, block forms in the admin center, but you shouldn't. But you would be blocking, you know, the whole app. But you shouldn't do that. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. You shouldn't do that. I think forms is one of the, yes, there are some things about gathering information and all of that. But I believe it's a tool that, you know, most organizations should use.
Hey, Daniel, I think that blocking is just the app within Teams rather than the whole app.
Right.
Yeah. So you can block various different apps that are published to Teams.
Right. And so that's in the admin center. But what I'm saying is, I don't think you should block that for forms. And I feel like this type of engagement in meetings is something that really will enhance, I'm not going to say all meetings, maybe not even most meetings. Okay. But I think there's a good amount of meetings that we have day in, day out that really is hard to gauge whether we're having it's being useful or not, whether not just useful, but did you learn something today? Did you, you know, what is the feedback you would like to give to the presenter? I mean, there's a lot of information or a lot of types of information we can gather for our meetings. And so I think there's a good amount of types of meetings that would rely on this. Mm-hmm. This does rely on the new customized meeting experiences with apps, because just as you mentioned, it's an app, you know, integrating with Teams. So if you don't have that yet, and that was announced, I'm trying to remember when it was announced, but it was the rollout for that, for the apps and the new experiences was October through early December. So if you don't have that yet, then you're not going to have this. The forms, the rollout bringing forms starts November 19th, like I mentioned, to early December. So it's kind of, I guess, you know, one of the first ones to roll out with that new experiences with apps. I'm excited about it because, you know, I do run user groups in Teams, right? So you can be able to easily poll your attendees that way. You can do trainings. I do trainings via Teams, and being able to poll, and not just poll like how was it, but, you know, have sections of, you know, during what you're having and say, okay, let's do a poll. You know, did you find this useful? You know, maybe you want to pivot during the meeting, or poll your audience at the beginning to see who in the world is here, so I know if I'm on the right track. One thing that I don't like, and it's not about this functionality, but it's specific to Teams meetings. It is not live events. You know, so that is where I actually would love to have better polling is in live events. And I'd like for it to work exactly the same way, right? So it works the same. There's too many differences between live meetings and live events.
There is a poll that you can drop into the stream side of things.
There is.
Yeah. So it similar kind of thing, I think.
Similar kind of thing. I think that's my point. is that live events are too different than Teams meetings, in my opinion. They're just now part of it has to be, but there's some things that are like, why isn't this just like a Teams meeting? Why does it have to, it feels like it's a totally different application, when you're in a live event versus a Teams meeting. So that's what I'm talking about. Mm. But anyway, I'm excited about this one. I'm going to use it a lot.
Well, I see another scenario that is helpful with polls. I know it's good to gauge how the session, whether it was useful or helpful, asking skill questions during training. But the other thing that we really should be thinking about around meetings is what can we do to facilitate decision-making and reduce the time that we need to be in a meeting. So if you create this poll before the meeting, you could even, you know, put it out there as a poll to start voting on before the meeting even starts. Then you've already got something on the table. You can see generally how people feel about things, and then that can be part of the discussion. It helps to turn that. So I like the look of this. I hope too that there'll be more options for the form, because I know it's going to be quite basic to begin with, but good to see.
Yeah. So I think we should transition to talking about a fantastic product that we all use every day, and that's OneDrive, right? You use OneDrive every day, right?
You know, there was one other thing that we wanted to share. Oh. I know it's a bit lame duck before we move on from those polls, but we did. I ran a poll about the polls.
Right.
So just, you know, and thank you to those who did vote, all 15 of you. but yeah, generally people are they're okay with polls and meetings. Some people are very much about just leave me alone. I don't care.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've just been a bit creative in how we.
I thought it was very fun.
Well, thank you. That's what we're looking for. Yes, OneDrive and bookmarks. We've got bookmarks in all sorts of places in our Microsoft 365 experience. Bookmark messages, bookmark news posts that we want to go back to. This one, I know at the moment it's specific to OneDrive on iOS, But I've got to say that I'm happy to see this come in. I think when we're reading a PDF that's stored in a OneDrive, it's quite a capable experience. I've used the markup within the PDF reader of OneDrive and found it to be pretty good. You know, if I'm going through and reviewing something, a manual, a broadcast or something that I want to sort of go through and just check things out and mark it up so I can go back to the points I think were important, that's great. But what I haven't been able to do is bookmark my position or positions within a PDF. Now, this is MC226028, and I think this is going to be useful for people who are mobile a lot and they're in the field and they might need to reference a manual or something that is helping them with their current task. Do you see this being quite useful, Daniel? What do you think about it?
I do, because if you think about PDFs, and especially PDFs that don't have linking in them, you know, if you close it and you have to come back to read, you're scrolling again, right? Yeah. So I like this capability, and I will use it. The biggest, you know, why don't we have this in other file types? That was my biggest, like, okay, this is great for PDFs, but what about everybody else? So anyway, but I do like it. Because a lot of times with PDFs, you know, you may have dozens or even maybe a couple of hundred pages, depending on what it is, mm-hmm. and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, especially on mobile. I mean, you're on a small device and you're having to scroll, 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 scroll. So mm-hmm. having those bookmarks to get you where you need to be is very helpful.
Yeah. Now we'll be able to bookmark pages within the PDF. And so on that screenshot there, and I'll describe it for the podcast listeners. If you have opened up a PDF, what you're going to do is just long press in an area where there is no text, and that'll allow you to bookmark the page. Your other option is to select some text, and in that pop-out menu that you see within iOS, you can bookmark. And so you can bookmark the text that's on the page, and when you go back to that bookmark, then you'll be taken back to the paragraph and the word that you were bookmarking. But this is quite useful. I've long appreciated that the visual way of queuing people into content and windows and things and managing my productivity experience. When you bookmark something in the iOS app, you're going to have a section where bookmarked content will appear as thumbnails. So instantly I can recognize, yes, that's the page. Well, at least in this example, not all PDFs are 3/3 on a page with lots of big graphics. Sometimes they are blocks of words, so maybe it won't be as recognizable. So good start. I think that's great. I think what I'd also like to see eventually in any kind of bookmarking, really, but particularly in this, is named bookmarks and grouped bookmarks, so that if it is something that isn't as visual and not as easy to recognize, then I can group things that I wanted to bookmark and reference a bit later and then group that together to say it's on this certain topic.
Well, and you think about, you know, whether this is a book, you know, we can get books in PDF, we can get manuals and all this. If you've got, you know, a dozen bookmarks, now you've got to remember, what was bookmark 6 again? And bookmark 7?
It was the blocky text with 3 gaps in it.
Yeah, so I agree with you, named bookmarks. We don't know how this is going to be, but it would be great to have some named, be able to just type in just a simple description of what this bookmark is.
Definitely. So that is rolling out to the Apple Store late November. Expect to see it complete late December. No hint as to when that might come out to Android, but here's hoping. Yeah, all right. We've got... another thing to talk about around Teams, mm-hmm. and this was actually going back to what you mentioned about chopping and changing between stuff and perhaps a misunderstanding within the community and with the news that wrote about it.
Yes, this is adding personal accounts in Teams coming soon on desktop, MC226037. Yeah, there was a big shout of excitement over the weekend. no, it had nothing to do with United States politics. There was some news that came out about this feature, and it was mistakenly understood that this was the rolling out of being able to log into multiple Microsoft 365 enterprise or business tenants and being able to do that in desktop. People have been talking about this, I think, ever since Teams rolled out, to be honest. I think especially those of us that have multiple tenants that we have to log into. So anyway, there's a bit of a misunderstanding that went out. And so this is bringing the same functionality that we have on mobile to the desktop. So on the mobile, you can add a personal account, one and only one, into Teams. And that's the Microsoft for life, or is that what it was called? Am I making that up, or maybe some of the
channels? Yeah, no, I think there was some slogan anyway, in there. It's Microsoft Teams Personal.
Teams for life, or personal. I don't know, man. All these slogans, we're supposed to remember them. Anyway, so this is bringing that functionality from mobile to desktop. You can control this. Yeah, I've heard people talk about, wait a minute, I don't want mixed communications happening in Teams with people on their phone from personal and enterprise. How do you know, can we make sure that people are communicating on the right account and all this kind of stuff? Okay, fine. In Intune, you can change, you can enforce that for the mobile. On desktop, you can use GPO registry settings. So this is starting November 19th, and that date should be familiar because that's the same date we were talking about forms. Huh. It's rolling out. It's November 19th, starting the rollout, and that's very specific. That there's in this message, it was very interesting. On November 19th, they didn't say which time zone, but on November 19th, they're starting it and pausing it during the U.S. holidays, which I don't think we've ever had a message that said anything remotely close to that. So we're going to be able to log in personal account, where you can communicate with family and friends and the like on the desktop. Will this bring about some, for you, Daryl, would this bring some distractions in your day? I mean, we've talked about this digital workplace experience with Teams, and you've got it up and you're working. Would you find this distracting to have personal chats with family and friends popping up? Or is that something that happens anyway? It's just on the phone or,
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's answer that in two parts, but I'll keep it brief. I won't be that guy at the conference that goes, I have a four-part question. Never mind. First part, yes, it would be distracting if I had people who wanted to use Teams Personal. I don't have anyone on Teams Personal. I think I added it to test it out, try it out, a bit like Hilda here in chat. I tried it out, and actually, to be honest, I think maybe in its rough edges state at that time with right. how it was managed, it's actually been more of an annoyance because sometimes yes. when I go to sign into something, now it gets confused with, oh, are you signing into Teams for work or for personal? Please.
I actually removed it because of that.
Oh, yeah. I did too. But secondly, yeah, people are messaging me from my family and friends over other platforms. So it's not like I'm going to avoid that distraction. But if it was what we were all hoping for, which was allowing multiple organizations to sign in, and that, I think there's not going to be much difference between that and receiving a chat via federated or external chat.
I think you hit on a few points there. I agree with your last one. It's
just my last one.
No, hold on. Patience, young Padawan. The last one there about they're going to hit me up on the channels that they've been having conversations with me before. So, you know, if it's my parents, it's text. If it's other family members, it could be, you know, WhatsApp or whatever. I mean, it's Facebook Messenger, whatever, you know, it's been chosen as the approved communication channel. And what I think, though, is I think they're late. I actually think Teams is late with this. And they've been working on it for a long time, people. This functionality was not something where they went, oh, COVID, we need to work on it. They were working on this way before then. And working on it. And here we are. I think they're late in the space where I think there was some room for them to flourish. But like, I don't know, a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, were they ready then? No. And that's just the name of the game. I feel like there's some people that we know really well, Daryl, that are teams ambassadors. They love teams and they spend all day in teams and they hate this functionality. They're like, this is silly because no one's going to use it because they're going to send me a text or an email or whatever it is that they've been using for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
It's just too late. This functionality I think is cool. It could have been cool, but it's just too late. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot you can do within this experience, but it's that age old challenge of how do I get people to move to that platform to make it worthwhile? And sure, you could start with family, but your kids are using other things, your friends are using other things. Is there any social open cool factor about it? I think that's what's missing. Because, you know, you can jump on a WhatsApp or an Instagram or something and you've got this private message experience over here, but you've also got this public side to it, which allows you to share your content. And that's the thing that's missing.
Well, and it has better content constructs than, you know, WhatsApp or any of those things we've mentioned. I think, you know, file management, you know, being able to have that personal space that you're sharing documents with all these people. But it's not like I'm sharing documents with my dad every day. I mean, that's just not, it's just not something I do. And if I do, I probably need to email it to him anyway, because anyway.
Address the social aspect first, right? And I think they would have had more attraction to it.
All right. So I think we spent enough time talking about something that we don't necessarily want to even use. So let's get simple, Daryl. Let's get simple.
Let's simplify things. Very good. I like that segue and transition. Yes, we at the 365 Message Center show are always interested in changes and improvements to the Message Center experience and the admins center experience. And so this message, Microsoft 365 Admin Center, simplified admin experience, we see a hint as to what they have planned and what's coming. It's MC226054. And let's just take a quick look at that. Let's show it in a separate tab. It's a bit sparse, but it is a hint as to what's coming. Now, I'll show this, and then I'll go back over to another tab to look at what we currently have. We'll talk about that for a bit. The admin center is going to be a little simpler. Top actions for you. It feels like it's getting some cues from productivity score and security score. I, as AI, am going to give some suggestions about what you might want to do. Your organization and tabs in terms of users. This user is healthy. What does that mean? Last signed in mailbox users. Wow. Nothing in the mailbox. Some hints there as to how it might be reorganized. Now let's get some thoughts from you about this, and then we'll have a look at our current experience.
Yeah, I think they're trying to hit a target of, it seems, simplicity. Obviously, that's part of the title. But I think they've gone too far, personally, just because what is the target audience for this? These are not consumers. These are not, these are IT admins who are tenant admins over everything. It could also be other admins that we give access to the admin center, but it's just like, why do you take away all my stuff? And now I've got to click more to get to it. I mean, that's kind of the thoughts that, you know, we'll get from IT admins. I know I am throwing all IT admins in one bucket and saying you're all alike. That's not true, and I get it. But it's, why are you taking my stuff away just to hide it under a few more clicks? And now, soapbox, I'm down off my soapbox. I will say some of this I do like. I do like bringing some of this I like having this information about users, you know, this right at my fingertips. I don't have to go drill down. What is their mailbox and their OneDrive? Great. That sounds like good stuff if I can configure that. But AI is not going to know I need to go into the service health because I just got it a ping and I want to go read it. So mm-hmm. I'm going to have to click around to find where service health is. I'm going to have to click and find the, where do I get my bills and payments? Where do I, you know, all of this, how do I switch my tenant to that? Anyway, long story short, nice try. I hope you do better.
I don't think it's the best screenshot. Maybe we're looking at a demo environment where there's very little going on. There's a hint there as to maybe the product that they're using is M365 Business. So, maybe admins, their first reaction as they look at this is, okay, wow, that's really simple. But let's have a look at the admin center as it currently is. This is what I think that, I'd be interested to know if we're going to still have this capability to bring in what we care about.
Right.
Because I do like the cards thing. I've always had the message center up top and so I can see it first off. I just added a few other things that I didn't know were there. Did you know that? Look, have a look at this. Add card. You can add software. I mean, I've got a few of these cards on already, so they're not available to choose from. Service health, we've seen that. Active usage, setup, advanced threat protection if you've got it, role-based GDPR information. And then if you get into, I mean, this is useful stuff, you know. What do we want to tell our people about upgrades to Office? Well, jump straight in and see what's available in the current channel or monthly enterprise channel. Get on down here to support remote workers with Teams. So there's a few suggestions there about what to do with managing Teams. Will we miss that?
I hope it's there. And I agree with you. Maybe I jumped on top of the soapbox too quickly. You know, that example screenshot's all we have to work on right now. Maybe that's just sparse. It's a bad screenshot for, you know, giving us a good idea of what's coming. So I hope that we are able to customize it and make it what we need it to be so we can get our job done and not have to fiddle around with it.
So expect this change to be available beginning of early December. Expected to be complete end of January 2021. This experience is designed specifically for very small organizations of those 10 or fewer.
So, all right. What in the world?
Why are you presenting it to me?
Right, exactly. You're not a small business off, you know, Microsoft 365 small business or whatever they named it this month customers. So why are they even offering that to you? I don't know. So we'll see if it comes to enterprise.
You know, now that we've read the instructions, Daniel, after we've jumped on soapboxes and passed opinions.
I don't expect to see that change
at all within my organization. Maybe I'm not going to see any of this.
Well, I read it. I saw that. It's just that it's confusing. Why am I seeing this? I mean, in my demo tenant, I have more than 10. So why? Yeah. Why? Anyway, let's move on so we can wrap this show up.
Wrap it up.
Yeah. All right. You know, we can maybe they'll undo that message in our message center. Anyway. All right. So last announcement, Microsoft List undo and redo commands. This is MC226055. Microsoft List is bringing functionality that is so ubiquitous with computer work these days that I'm really shocked that it's not there already, to be honest. We're getting two new buttons in Microsoft List, undo and redo. Yay! we've had those in Office for, 10 years? But not just the buttons for undo and redo, but we also get the keyboard shortcuts. Yay! So that's actually where I would use it more than clicking the buttons, I think. Windows, we get the Control Z for undo, Control Y for redo. There's also the Control Shift Z, I think, does redo. Anyway, and then Mac, Command Z, and then the Command Shift Z for redo. But that's not all. If you call now, within the next 10 minutes, and have your credit card in hand, since Microsoft List is powered by SharePoint Online, all of your lists in SharePoint Online are getting this functionality as well. So all those modern lists, are getting this same functionality, targeted in mid-November to start rolling out. So here in a weekish, maybe a little bit more, and then going standard mid November to late December. Daryl has his hand raised.
I did, and I used the Teams feature so that I could signal that to you. What are we undoing and redoing here? Are we undoing and redoing text that we're typing into a list item, or are we undoing the whole change to the item? Is this just like a rollback of versions of the list item? What is happening here?
I do not know. I don't have the inside track on this, and I can find out. But I think this is undoing the change to the item. And so you could think about copying and pasting. A lot of people utilize, you know, copying from Excel or something and pasting into a SharePoint list or Microsoft list, and it goes, and you're like, oh no, I shifted over one. Like, you know, I pasted in the wrong. Control Z, it's all gone, right? Hopefully that's the way it's going to work.
That's a massive thing because when you're doing that in that quick edit view, you're actually creating individual items, and each one of those is being saved.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I would expect that it not go exactly the way you would want it to initially.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're pasting 10,000 items into a new list, then hopefully you've got a lot of RAM on your desktop, and that's the only tab open, and you need to go get some coffee. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see some performance metrics on this. To see
check out some of the chat there from our very thoughtful friends.
Oh my goodness, Suzanne, what if the change you just made triggered a flow in Power Automate? Well, Suzanne, undo. I think what would happen is you're going to undo, the change will be undone, but the flow is still going. So it's going to be fantastic.
And so. Phil thinks that, well, I mean, given that versioning, he says, is turned off by default in list items, is that going to be part of that functionality? What's going to provide this undo capability?
Lists don't have versioning turned on by default. I don't know that I terribly agree with him. So maybe I partially agree with him. I didn't know they are in SharePoint, but if you go to Microsoft List and you create a list directly there, versions are not on by default. I think that's what he's saying. Maybe I'm reading into that a little bit, and I don't know. I got to check that out. Come on, Phil. But anyway, so rolling out pretty soon. Late December standard release by late December. So, I think it's going to be good. It will be fun to find out some of these nuances about what happens if something's tied to the list. What happens if it's a lot of items and the like. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, that is our show for the week. Thank you, everyone, for joining. We did cover off a few interesting things that were going to impact your experience of Microsoft 365. Do continue to tune in to watch this, to check out the podcast if you prefer to listen to it while you're mowing the lawns or driving, or would you listen to it on your virtual commute? I don't know. But thanks again. We'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.